SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday. Race fans, Sirius 219 XM 201. Sports Zone 964 if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. And busy most of the morning. In fact, a little too busy because I forgot to bring out the recycling and the garbage out to the street, and Tina is not going to be happy. Yeah, they come at 8 o'clock, and I looked up and it was like 7:59, and there's just she's gonna take me to the airport later to head out west, and they're gonna ask me at security who left those bruises. Although I'm going to be back next Thursday. I'm only gone till next Wednesday and night. And so she won't have to bring it out herself. That's the upside. The reason I got distracted was because I was diving through the PPs and Saturday's, 2-year-old heavy, actually, yes, Cigar Mile, and looking forward to that, without a doubt. But really, there's a lot of 2-year-old action, including some places that it's always worthwhile just keeping an eye on. And some horses actually turned up in a couple of spots that are noteworthy, including at Maryland. You've got the juvenile championships for the boys and girls. And how about Miss J. McKay coming back out of the Stewart Manor, where Fly So Pretty upset her. But she actually has come out of that and is firing bullets. So Miss J. McKay, who was denied a chance at the Breeders' Cup juvenile turf sprint, she's going to try the dirt and is going to have to stretch out to 7/8. But she's been working at Laurel for Cal Lynch, and all eyes, I think, in her direction. But there's a couple of very nice horses in here. You got the Maryland Million Lassie winner for Brittany Russell, that Hello Beautiful. On the boys' side, not as many familiar names, but we're certainly going to ask Tony about Sir Back in Black. We'll hopefully catch up with Tony today. Have missed him a couple of weeks. Has had some on his end, and some I think we missed him once, and then he's had a couple of things that have kept him away. But we'll catch up with Tony. Haskin too, of course. In addition to Laurel, before we talk about the Futurity and the Starlet and the Demoiselle and the Remsen, I want to make sure you're familiar with, you know, where else to keep an eye out. Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania Nursery, $100,000, 7/8. And how about Mike Trombetta trying to score points with wife Marie? coming back with news to me, who just won like 12 minutes ago. Actually, 3 weeks ago. It'll be 3 weeks by Saturday. Won the James F. Lewis, of course, is on a nice 2-race win streak, won the McDermott at Presque Isle, drew the rail, though, for the 7/8, 9-5 favorite, and a little tricky. This is a deep field. This is a better group than News to Me maybe has faced. Anthony Pecoraro's got Golden Candy, who looks okay, a Golden Sense colt. It's third in the Parks Juvenile, but won the first state dash at Delaware in September and did it stylishly. Not so bad. Breezy gust for Kate DeMasi. A great notion gelding. So Pennsylvania-bred two-year-olds. And then how about at Tampa? It's the start of the two-year-old run-up. The Sandpiper and the inaugural. And the boys looking at the inaugural. How about another Breeders' Cup participant? Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint, third place finisher. Another miracle. Yeah, another miracle shows up in here. The American Pharaoh for Gary Contessa and the Greens, Len and son John. Good luck to them. Jerry Bennett in here. No getting over me. A first out winner already at Tampa. Just literally 10 minutes ago. Just won on the 29th and did so nicely. Cajun Casanova. Michael Yates. Shady Brook Farms, homebred, won the Hollywood Beach on the turf. There's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of surface switchers among the two-year-olds. That's the inaugural. And then for the girls, the Sandpiper. Arno Delacour for Ed Seltzer and Bev Anderson. Lucrezia, also out of the Stewart Manor, but a smashing Keeneland maiden winner. Almost certain to go favored in here. 260, though, for Cassie and Gary Barber. All the way on the outside. The uncaptured OBS March purchase for 260. First out winner at Gulfstream and won the My Dear Girl in the leading into the Juvenile Fillies. She looked so good. She looked so good on track and then kind of popped and stopped. So another number of juvenile spots, even before we get to the big races. Let's talk about how they came out. And I know people, you know, immediately grousing about field size in the two Los Al stakes. Honestly, as I've said before, you've got the second and third place finishers out of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. You've got two Baffords, including what might be his best horse. Don't know yet. Thousand Words, the impressive first out winner. Adding Blinkers. I'd like to know. That's interesting. I'd like to know how many times Baffert has put Blinkers on off wins. We'll look that up. But Thousand Words has certainly worked nicely. You know, there were a couple of, I won't call them defections per se, but Eight Rings waiting, as is Honor AP. So that ended up affecting the draw. So a four pack in here, but a high quality set of four. High velocity for the Wests. Two for two, first out win, Bob Hope winner. Drayden Van Dyke, he's taking the blinkers off. Off a win. So Baffert with a two equipment changes off of wins. Thousand Words, Pratt from the three for the All Boss and Spendthrift. Wrecking Crew drew the two hole. Abel Cedillo back aboard. Paco rode him in the Juvenile to the third place finish. Cedillo was on him in the Del Mar Futurity. And an Odor. Beaten ahead. Blaine Wright and Mr. Redicop. The $480,000 Medaglia d'Oro. Out of the Breeders' Cup performance. So, did you really need another two, three, four, you know, plain kind of fodder in here? You got four outstanding juveniles, and it'll be a chess match. With the blinkers going on and with Baffert's predilection for the front end. It sure looks like 1,000 words, even though High Velocity set the pace in that Bob Hope. Blinkers come off. I don't necessarily think. First time two turns. It's interesting. Very interesting. I don't think Baffert wants his two juvies, you know, getting into an early tete-a-tete. That's the Futurity. It goes at 1:58 Pacific, 4:58 Eastern. The Starlet later on the card. And five in here. And again, it's actually a very similar set of horses. The second and third place finishers from the juvenile. Donna Veloce, the just courageous try in her second career start, was being asked so much to go from 6.5 to 8.5 and absolutely did everything but hold off British Idiom in the last couple of jumps. She'll go favored. Bast, who was also, you know, some people said, oh, Baffert's horses didn't run well. Bast ran very well and acquitted herself quite nicely, did a lot of the heavy lifting, and only passed and succumbed to Donna Veloce and British Idiom late. So those two are the major headliners, but Baffert's also got Gingham, who took a while to break her maiden, and when she did it nicely. She's a little, you know, a little slower on figs, but she's the only horse that's run at Los Al. She was second in her second start behind Seahawk Lisa. And she's been around two turns four times. KP Dreamin in here from Mullins out of the juvenile, where she faltered. She was another horse that Breeders' Cup week kind of looked flashy. She was coming out of the Chandelier. So, and then also Roadrunner's Honor from Doug O'Neill out of the Desi Arnaz. Leah Kuthia, who I thought was headed here for Peter Miller, did not participate. But you got five here, four in the boys' race. I don't see how you quibble with the quality of the horses that assembled. And then there's New York, where they obviously are worried about getting the grass races in, the winter memories. They'll try again and got a nice, you know, most of the horses back for that. That's early on the card. Both of the turf races are early on the card. The Autumn Days, the turf sprint, that goes as the fourth. And then you can start to get excited about the stake sequence. The Gopher Wand, which was seemingly struggling for participants. Peter Miller coming in with Spice Perfection, and then you had Mike Stidham yesterday tell you that Cigarro Row is showing up. And Jerry O'Dwyer has got Need Supervision, who just won the Safely Kept a couple of days ago. It was classic Gary Barber, too. Over the weekend, I congratulated him on Get Stormy. He said, did you see Need Supervision? you just won the matriarch. Did I see the winner of the Safely Kept? He just loves the game. So a six-pack in the Gopher Wand. Then there's a maiden race that has got looks like some decent potential babies. And then the Demoiselle, the Remsen, and the Cigar Mile. The Cigar, everybody that was expected showed up, and then some. Whitmore drew the rail. Bal Harbor for Todd Pletcher out of the Fayette. Forewarned for Uriah St. Louis off of a successful trip to Mahoning Valley, where he won that endurance stake. Pat on the back for Maya out of the faltered effort in the Empire Classic. Maximum Security drew midfield, the five. spun to run right next to him. Very interesting. And you would think that Guerrero wants Ortiz to just kind of shadow maximum security. That it should be that very interesting that they drew shoulder to shoulder. Nicodemus for Avi and Rhoda Friedberg and the Goichmans. Manny Franco. Network Effect for Chad. Chad's horses both drew together. Network Effect and Looking at Bikinis. Then Tale of Silence from the 10 and True Timber from the 11. So a nice field of 11 for the Cigar Mile that ends the card. The Demoiselle and the Remsen, both nice fields. Really nice fields. We'll get into those, most notably, I'm sure, with Steve Haskin later, where we'll focus in on the two-year-olds. Right now, Dick Powell's going to join us to get it going. Hong Kong International Races, HKIR. They had the jockey challenge yesterday. Catch up with Dick next at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $125 are on them. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K. And you'll get $125 when you wager $500 within your first 30 days. See what I mean? House money just for playing the races you were going to bet anyway. Check out ExpressBet.com for more information. And don't forget to sign up using promo code BYK. B-Y-K to get that $125 bonus. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states. Open account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com. Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only a low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Back at the races, 20 minutes into hour one on this Thursday, headed out west. Dick Powell's going to join us, and we're going to talk HKIR, and it's been a buzz of activity already at Hong Kong. And Dick, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. What time are you flying? You're flying on Sunday or Saturday?
I'm flying this afternoon to California. I'm at Los Al on Saturday.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, then you'll head over. Okay. Well, I'll see you. I'll see you out there.
Absolutely, and looking forward to it. In fact, I'm going to, in addition to obviously the show, but I'm going to be moderating an interesting interesting panel. Wendy asked me to, as a non-affiliated observer, to moderate the surfaces, the racing surfaces piece, and I'm because it's an area that I you know, certainly we've talked about it and have had McPeterson and have had plenty of plenty of discussions over the years, and I I think I know enough to be dangerous, looking forward to it. As always, they put together a really nice docket of topics and sessions. What are you tied on to?
I'm just attending. I'm not speaking. I'm
nice.
Not moderating. I'm not doing any of that stuff, which is enjoyable because you don't have to worry about what am I going to say. Well, you know, all that preparation stuff.
Yes.
When you had Rick Hamerly on, and then he had Alex Sossville on.
Yeah.
Alex has the record in this area for 3-point field goals made in basketball, more than Joe Girard, who went to Syracuse.
Oh, that's great.
999 3-pointers. His father's the coach at Scotia.
Right.
And his father's a terrific coach. And when Glens Falls would go down there to play, he would beat Glens Falls with Joe Girard, who scored 4,500 points in his basketball career. But Alex was a sensational left-hand shooter.
How about that? I love it. I'm glad you told me that. I'll and now, you know, it's funny. The minute you said, you know, father coaches, the name, you know, I put connect the dots immediately. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's great. I love
it. And Mark is as big a racing fan as Alex. And Alex, I think, followed his dad into it. Because Mark, you see him everywhere.
Well, and you know, the coach at Siena. I know Andy's had him on, the show. He's a huge fan. And years ago, I got friendly with at the barbecue. The coach from Water Valette, famous coach, and has got a summer camp. Not Madrigal, Mardigan, Butch Mardigan. Right,
okay.
Butch Mardigan, and he would come regularly with his best pal, and it's funny how often it makes sense. The winter sports, hockey and basketball, when guys are off during the summer, they come to the racetrack.
Yeah, yes they do.
How was before we talk HK? How was Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was good. The problem was we did not go away to the Caribbean that we've done 3 years in a row. And so we had to stay home with family, you know, the usual.
was it that arduous? You make it sound like it was a chore.
I know. The youngest one, the 3-year-old, is just, they're all superstars. But seeing that she's the latest and greatest, she's just spectacular. She's so
nice.
Much fun.
No, I love it.
Just showing up and being there with her, and then she's the happiest kid, wants to come to Nan and Poppy and, you know, spend the night and spend the weekend, and what she's done by herself, which is, you know, she did that when she was 2 years old. Pretty big deal, though. You know, go away from Mommy for a weekend. You know, Mommy and Daddy aren't that far away, but she
independent.
She loves it. Yes. Oh, they're all tremendous. So that part was great. I ate too much. The football, for the most part, was unwatchable. But And then Sunday, you know, the Jets and Giants, that was a new level of fun watching.
Well, enough. There you go.
My stupid football team.
That's all right. Johnny and I regale everybody as well with Eagles conversation. Was watching a little bit and have seen some of the highlights from the jockey competition and now the main event on the horizon with the HKIR.
Yeah, the jockey. What was fun with the jockey competition was you bring in riders from all over the world, but the locally based Karis Teton, who's from Mauritius, which is an island off the eastern coast of Africa, he's been a regular out in Hong Kong, does very, very well, and he wound up winning it. It looked like Ryan Moore was going to win it because Ryan won the first leg, and that looked like it might be enough to hold up because they only have four races in the challenge. And Ryan won the first leg, Karis won the second, and then Ryan had a second in the third leg, but then Karis, who had a third in the first leg, he came back with a third in the last leg. And that added up to be enough points. Where Ryan got hurt was in the third leg. He had the lead on Magnificent, and Colin Keane from Ireland ran him down from way back and just got up in time and, you know, Ryan looked like he had won, and that would have been more than enough to be the winner. So Karis Teton wins, and also what was great was Vincent Ho finished third, and Vincent didn't qualify. In other words, he didn't get eligible until a week ago Sunday when he won the last two races at the Chatham. So that made him the next level. They take so many local riders, so that put him in the, whatever it was, four or five local riders that were in, and then he winds up finishing third. So Karis gets a $500,000 Hong Kong dollar check for the competition, a silver whip, and, you know, bragging rights for the next year.
And he's, very nice.
And, he's, you know, and he has some nice live mounts coming up Saturday night, Sunday morning with the international race. So it's always nice. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, Frankie coming in or Ryan and winning all the races and stuff. But at the same time, you like to see the home team do well. And Hong Kong's home team is very formidable. And we're going to see that on Sunday with the international races. Because last year, the Hong Kong locally based horses won every race. So when you're handicapping these races, you're kind of looking at, ooh, this one's from Japan, this one's Jaden O'Brien, and they're all good. But then you got to remember, they didn't get it done last year. And many of the winners are back from last year's. I think all four, in fact, are back from last year's. So that will be a challenge because you're going to kind of give the local horses a little bit extra points in the sense that they and their riders are more familiar with the circumstances. I mean, one thing, if you stay up late and watch Japan, and this is also true in Hong Kong, they spend a long time in what they call a parade ring. The horses are already tacked up, and they walk and walk and walk and walk in a big ring. They walk at a pretty brisk pace, and not everyone's used to that. You know, there's just certain things when you're traveling. Things are done different ways. So you'll see that in Hong Kong. It's, you know, it's a big crowd. It's a crowded paddock and lots of people there. They'll probably have at least 70,000 people. And it shows you just how strong the local horses are. And some of these international invaders, I mean, I give an example, Stephen, and they named one of the races after him on Sunday. Highland Reel was an absolute superstar. I mean, to win the Breeders' Cup Turf, I think he was second in the arc behind Found. He won the Cox Plate.
Yep.
He's won in Hong Kong. I mean, just that's I don't think people can really appreciate just what goes into doing that. And the mind of a horse to do that, forget about the talent, just be able to shift the new circumstances and new this and new that and handle it and show up race day and always runs his race. And it's just amazing what Highland Reel was able to do. I don't know if he won the Cox Plate. I think he was second to Winks in the Cox Plate.
But, I mean, just went all over the world and won race after race. So those are just fun horses to follow and root for, and especially the connections that keep them in training.
Well, he won the Vaz, right? Twice, I think.
I think he won 2017 and 18.
He's one of those kinds of horses that comes along, and you know, the North American, it's one of the things that's enhanced the, you know, the whole North American appreciation of international races. I mean, when they pass through and you get a chance to, you know, get to know them and then follow them to, you know, these kinds of assignments. And he was one of those kinds of horses.
Yeah, he was just an iron horse. Anywhere they took him, he fired. And, he could have won that Breeders' Cup at Del Mar. He's right there turning for home. And the Godolphin horse with the big white blaze, I can't remember his name, he winds up winning it. But Highland Reels, right there, you know, as always. Mile and a half on the turf, left-handed, right-handed, doesn't matter. The only race he really bombed in was when they took him to Dubai, and they had all that rain. And the Sheena Classic just came up dreadful, and he couldn't handle the track at all. It was visible that he couldn't handle it. But other than that, he just, anything you threw at him. So those horses are special, and we have a lot of special horses coming up on Sunday. So race four begins the Hong Kong International Races. The races are 4, 5, 7, and 8. So race four is the Vaz, going 2,400 meters, mile and a half approximately. And this drew a tough group. And unfortunately, the defending champion, Exultant, drew post 14. I know it's possible to win from out there, but man, that's a lot to overcome. So I just couldn't put him any higher than third. But once he drew that, kind of opens the race up. And I'm going with the Japanese mare, Deidre, who has run well in Hong Kong before, was second to Glorious Forever last year in the Cup, going a mile and a quarter. And she had a big win in Europe this year at Nassau at Goodwood, going just over a mile and a half. Just short of a mile and a quarter. And so she has, obviously, Group 1 talent. She gets Ocean Murphy, who just won the Japan Cup. And he's been her regular rider lately. And draws post 2, so get a ground-saving trip. And if she's good enough in the stretch, she'll be coming. So number 10, Deidre on top. Why would another Japanese horse underneath? Number 11, Lucky Lilac, draws from post 1 with Christophe Soumillon, who rode her last time out in Kyoto in Japan and won a Group 1 there, going a similar distance. Comes from off the pace but can save ground. And I like Soumillon. I mean, I know Jerry Bailey does. I like Soumillon. And I think he's a master on grass. So going Japanese, 1-2 here with 10 and 11. Then we'll go with the local number 1, Exultant, Tony Cruz and Zach Purton. Tony's won this race, I don't know how many times. And the horse has terrific form, everything. You know, won his prep race coming in and won this race last year. But I just, post 14 is a deal breaker for me. And then fourth, I'm going to go with locally trained Southern Legend, number 4, for Casper Founds. And I expect this one to be kind of prominent early. I don't think he'll go for the lead. He's from post 9. He could get a nice first over trip if he wants.
Well, there's not a lot of speed, Dick, right? I mean, there's exactly. It's lacking. This thing is lacking of much pace.
Yeah, but when you use the speed map, which is the last page of the form guide, which just came out. I mean, it comes out at 6 in the morning, so I print it out first thing. But yeah, Southern Legend is expected to be on the lead. And some people expect, because of what you just said, Steve, Exultant can get a trip, that he can get over and set up shop in the two path outside of Southern Legend. So maybe I'm making too much out of post 14, but it's still post 14. You still got to use energy to get over.
Absolutely.
Starting and stuff like that. So 10, 11, 1, 4 in the Vaz. And that race will be at 12:40 a.m. Eastern Time.
I'll be in California, so I get to watch. I get to have a normal approach to this.
That's perfect. Yeah. Next race is the sprint, and that's true. A full gate load of 14 horses. Kind of wide open. The whole handicap and exercise depends on whether you think number 14, Athero, can continue on this upward trajectory that he's had. And it's just been spectacular. I mean, wins his first two, then moves up to class three. Then ran poorly in one start when he didn't get out of the gate well. And that was more manners than anything. And then he came back and crushed that same level next time out in 54 and change, which was a track record for 5 furlongs. And then he comes back in the Jockey Club Sprint, Group 2, and wins easily. Just, you don't win sprints this easily. And it was just a shade off Faker Kingdom's track record, and apparently there was a headwind in the stretch. So Ethero's done nothing more. He still gets weight because being a Southern Hemisphere three-year-old, he does still get some weight off. So he's getting in with 117. I think I read when Zach Purton can make 118. So he still has that weight advantage. He obviously is fast. Ground should be firm for him. Nothing not to like. He draws post 10, which is perfect because he can get out and get open, just hit the trip. And I know these other horses are just tremendous, hard-knocking, experienced sprinters, but he's just terrific. So I'm going to go with Athero. He'll probably be the favorite, the Tabcorp. They got him at 2-1, but maybe 2-1 is the way to go with him. And then obviously try to find something else. So we went with number 1, Beat the Clock. He draws post 3 with Jal Barrera. And Beat the Clock is ran third in here last year behind Mr. Stunning, who's also back in this race. Beat the Clock comes in pretty good form. Won 2 races back, and then in the Jockey Club Sprint, he was far behind early and came home in 21 and change, missed by a couple of lengths, but he's finishing up well, and I think he'll get a little bit stronger pace to sit off of today while saving ground from post 3. We'll go with a real speed horse here, number 3, Hot King Prawn, who's fast as could be, gets Karis Teton in the irons, and just very fast, was second behind Ethereal last time out. Has some big wins on his card and just seems to be improving. He's 5 years old. He's son of Denman, who was an Australian sprint champion. Also out of an unbridled song mare. You see a lot of unbridled song mares with good horses. So Hot King Prawn looks like he'll be out there winging it, and Athero will probably sit off of him. And then for 4th, we'll go with number 10, Seasons Bloom. Locally trained. What I wanted to do in this spot here, Steve, was find who has the best late kick. Forget about everything else. And this horse can consistently run 21 and change last quarters. So I think Season Bloom draws post 14, but that's not going to be an issue because he's going to drop pretty far back with Grant Van Niekerk. And I think he can, be sneaky into the money there. But just got to stick with the hot horse who just keeps getting better and better, number 14, Athero. Try to get a little value at Beat the Clock. I'm leaving out Mr. Stunning, which might be a mistake. The speedy number 3, Hot King Pawn. And then Seasoned Bloom will probably be the horse rallying fastest to fall in the stretch in the Hong Kong Sprint.
Let's give them the four numbers together, Dick.
Okay, let me do that again. 14, 1, 4, and 10.
Very good. All right.
And by the way, I am printing out my selections, and we'll have them available to any ADW who wants to put them out there.
Nice.
So Michelle will be sending that out to her contacts with the various sites that are taking Hong Kong wagering, and they all will have a written analysis of the races.
You're hearing it first. I'm going to mention, too, in this race that I know that I'll include D.B. Penn, who I just like. I'm a D.B. Penn fan. So.
They're hard to separate.
No, it's okay. It's a more mysterious group, just because it – I mean, this is the most Hong Kong-esque, pulled from the Hong Kong form race. It's got the least amount of invaders that are interlopers, essentially for the big chances. I mean, as opposed to what we're going to talk about here shortly, like Almond Eye.
Yes. Okay. Hong Kong Mile, race number 7. And this is another race where you have to look at the favorite, Beauty Generation, and kind of play off that. Now, Beauty Generation won this race last year, won it pretty convincingly. Returned to the races this year and promptly broke the track record for 7 furlongs in his first start. Well, that was great, except that might have set him back a little bit because his next race was another handicap. And he had to give up massive weight to the rest of the field. And he ran 3rd. He had some, not traffic issues, but he never was comfortable down on the inside. So he ran 3rd that day. The winner went 32 and change. So it was a legitimate race. And, it wasn't excuse. 2nd off the layoff, Alpha Big Effort, and giving away tremendous weight. The last start, the track he called Mile, he didn't really have much of an excuse there. I was running level weights. And he was 3rd, length and 3/4 to White Cuckoo. So now we got John Moore going over him with a fine-tooth comb, says everything is okay. He is 7 years old, but Moore's kept him in great form. And the issue probably was that first race out of the box was too fast. It was just set him backwards. And it showed up clearly in the handicap race. And then he probably still had some lingering effects last time. So this is the goal. This is the whole map leads to here. So Beauty Generation draws post 5 with Zach Purton. No real excuses with the post. No real excuses with anything. So I'm going back to Beauty Generation. Might get a little bit more of a price than we would have gotten if he showed up here the way everyone expected him to show up here. But number 1, Beauty Generation on top. 2nd, the horse who beat him last time out, White Cuckoo, has gotten better at the age of 4. He was a good 3-year-old. He was 2nd in the Hong Kong Derby. And now has just gotten into the group stakes action here and has done extremely well. Can handle a mile. Pretty versatile as far as what his distance capabilities are. He gets Joe Moreira for John Size. And I just think... he's going to be super tough from post 10. Joe's going to have to use his magic to get over and try to find some way to save ground. But he loves this track, and has 5 wins at Sha Tin. And Waikaku is my 2nd choice. 3rd choice went towards the outside, number 9, Admire Mars, one of the Japanese shippers that Christoph Sumion is going to ride. Form in Japan was terrific, has good speed. And so he'll be out there winging with Sumion. And he shows up here off a pretty poor race in the Fuji Stakes, but that was on softer ground. And I think most of these Japanese horses are going to really appreciate the firmer ground that Hong Kong has had just about the whole meet. And then 4th, I'll go with another Japanese horse, number 2, Indy Champ, who's the co-favorite in some of the betting sites I've seen. Just comes in with a big win in the Mile Championship and big win 2 starts before that. Beat Aerolate in the... that doesn't look like... Yasuda Kinnon. Yeah, really good. And 30 and change going a mile, so he obviously can get a quick mile. And he draws post three with Damian Lane, who's been winning just massive races all over Asia. So we'll see what he can do. But I'm going to stick with Beauty Generation one more time. See if he can win it for the home team. So it's number one, Beauty Generation. Number four, Waikaku. Number nine, Admire Mars. And number two, Indy Champ. And that is the mile. And that is also $3.21 million U.S. dollars per 25 million Hong Kong dollars. And then the final race of the HKIR will be the Cup. And it's run at a mile and a quarter. And the big story is, unfortunately, who's not here, Almanai spiked the fever last Friday, did not make the trip, is not here, much to everyone's disappointment. And it has to be legit. You know, I know there's been things going on, obviously, in Hong Kong that would make one possible second guess chicken in. But all the other Japanese horses came. You know, it's not like the Japanese stayed home. Almanai just had a fever. Hopefully she'll be back. Hopefully we can see her maybe back in Dubai when she was brilliant, winning the Dubai Turf. But sadly, she's not going to be in the Cup, which only has a field of eight going a mile and a quarter. And in this one, I went with Aidan O'Brien, Magic Wand.
Magic Wand, Galileo. Sure.
She's been all over the place, and two of the things that stick out, Steve, is obviously winning the McKinnon Stakes at Flemington in Australia, but getting beat, three quarters of a length by Bricks and Mortar, only to me. So she's been in against the best. She's run extremely well against the best. Her Cox play was very good. She was maybe too prominent early. They wheeled her back in the Melbourne Cup, which was kind of surprising because I'd never thought of her having that kind of stamina. And she didn't run well there, but Aidan O'Brien brought her right back a week back, not even a week later, 5 days later, from Tuesday to Saturday, and brought her back into McKinney at a mile and a quarter, and won with Ryan Moore. So Magic Wand has had a tremendous career. I think this is it for her. I think she's being retired after this race. I'm trying to remember. Oh, I know who they said they're going to breed her to. Being by Galileo, it knocks out a lot of stallions of that lineage. But actually, I'm drawing a blank. It can't be Franco with that pedigree. I don't know if it's Kingman or not, but Magic Wand's had a terrific career, and she can cap it off with another Group 1 win here around the world. For Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moss. I'm going to go with number seven. Second, number two, Furore, who has been red hot coming in. He got real good last year. And when we were doing shows in the spring, Steve, he was always right up there. He won the Hong Kong Derby. He beat Waikaku that night going this distance. Just keeps getting better and better. Was a nice second in his prep race for this. To Exultant, came from, off the pace that day. And I think he'll be stepping forward for Frankie Moore. And Hugh Bowman, Winx's rider, is in to ride here. So Furore, number six, is my second choice. Third, Rise High, local horse, French bred, that's been racing very well, comes in, was a good one at two back in the Oriental Watch Chatin Racing Trophy, Chatin Trophy Handicap. And that was going 9 furlongs. Today we go 10. I just think Rise High, just one of these hard knockers, is just going to throw out a big race every time. Casper Founds is the trainer, and Vincent Ho has a chance to pick up the big one here with a good live mount. So Rise High, number two, will be third. And for fourth, we're going to go with number eight, an American bred Adisa, who's
yeah.
Kitten Joy, who's been racing in France for Alain de Royer Dupree. Stéphane Pasquier is the rider. And she ran well, and she won that race right after Saratoga closed at Belmont for the three Royal Fillies, Jackie Club Oaks Invitational. She won that. She came back with a second in a group two. And I actually met Alain de Royer Dupre. Had dinner with him. It was about five or six people, and he was at the dinner after the Breeders' Cup. And all I wanted to do was talk soccer with him, because he's trained great, great horses, and he's a regular in Hong Kong. When he has a horse who's in decent form and stuff, he takes them to Hong Kong. So Adisa, who looks like a young, improving filly, she could be sitting on a big year next year, gets a shot to see how she can do against Group 1 males in the Hong Kong Cup.
She's,
so those are the four races. Lots of money on the line.
Yeah, and lots of intrigue, and it is too bad about Almond Eye. I'm glad you latched on to Adisa. Give the give the saddle numbers if you would again, Dick, please.
Okay. 7, Magic One, 6, Ferrari, 3, I'm sorry, 2, Rise High. And 8, Adisa. The one thing that this sounds really stupid, and it is, I have trouble with stuff like that because I'm dyslexic. So when I look at things, I'm looking at different things. So if I write down 4th next to Adisa, who's number 8, I'm liable to say number 4, Adisa, or for 8th, I like.
I'll transcribe when I'm writing, doing my write-ups. I have a tendency as well. And right now, I'm still adjusting to these new glasses, and I'm struggling. But I catch myself using the odds. If a horse is the 3 and the horse is 4-1, 5-1, whatever, and I'll sort of transcribe poorly that way, so I know exactly what you mean. Let's give everybody the times again, Dick. Seeing as how these spread out, it is the usual schedule. This is always how they've structured it, but let's give everybody the Eastern times again.
Okay, well, race 1 starts out at 11 o'clock p.m. Saturday night. So that's race 1. The first race on the card is race 4. And that, actually all my stuff is now in inverse order. So race 4 is the Vaz. And that is. At 1:40 their time, which should be 12:40 our time. 12:40 a.m. Eastern Time. And then race 5 will be the sprint. And that's 1:20 a.m. And then you get a little bit of a break. Race 6 is not part of the Hong Kong International Races, but well worth betting. As are the entire field, the entire card that night, 11 races. And they're all worth betting. The Longines Mile Race 7 will go off at 2:30 a.m. And finally, the Cup, will go off at 3:10 a.m. Eastern Time. I know Michelle sent out an email with all the post times, but the ADWs have all that. The ADW is going to have a lot of information to pass on to their customer. Hopefully it gets out there. And then when we finish up here, then I will sit down and write this up.
Excellent.
In a usual 1-2-3-4 format. And I don't really want to do betting strategies because not all the ADWs take the same bets. That's been problematic. So I can't advise doing one thing when...
it's not going to be available. Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll just be win bets, maybe Quinella's if people want to And they do have trifectas, so. But it's just that makes it a little more complicated. So even with the big field, you're looking at wind, and you're also looking at place. And place pays very well, and place pays three places. So it's first, second, and third for place. I mean, you can get some nice prices. So I'm looking forward to it. I've never seen so many emails from Jackie Clevers. I'm sure you've had your mailbox filled up. Pictures, photos. I mean, it's just amazing the job they do when they have big events. And even when they simulcast the big events from around the world, they provide the same amount of information for their customers. I mean, if they're sending it out to the media, their customers are all getting it. So they just do an awesome job. So wish them well for Saturday night, Sunday morning for the Longines. Let's not forget them. They're the sponsor. Longines Hong Kong International Races.
Also send out a link for everybody to Odds Checker, and you can see what the Antipost markets look like and where money is gravitating for the four races. Athero is the shortest price of any of them at even and in the sprint. So always
and that's,
helpful.
And that's a real good point, Steve, because if you go to hkjc.com anytime Saturday, and just click on local races and then click on current odds, you can get the odds for every horse in every race, not just the first race. And their odds and their pools in all the other multiple bets and stuff. So the minute it's 24 hours out from the first race, so like Saturday evening, you're sitting down, you might want to make some bets, go to bed, wake up the next day, see how they did. Well, you can look at the actual odds at that point, and they stay very consistent. Are there fluctuations? Yes, but they're huge pools, and they don't fluctuate that much. So for horses, you know, 3-1 or something, he's probably going to be plus or minus 1 point. And so it gives you real accurate, like I say, it's better than the morning line, and you don't need to have projected odds 5 days ahead of time like some people want. It's just pointless. And this is, to me, way better. And so that's a great point. But that'll be available also, Odds Checker, those sites. And what I like with those sites, it just gives you a sense of the flow of money, the ranking of the horses, not necessarily the actual prices, who's the favorite, who's the second choice, who's the third choice, things like that.
Agreed, and I use it for, as we've discussed so often, whether it's you're looking at Dubai or Ascot or Cheltenham, you know, virtually any marketplace that, you know, we're not as, you know, as North American bettors, where we're only, you know, marginally familiar with the fields, and it's very helpful. And, of course, the more, you know, the more experience and the more, you know, times you get involved and try, you know, the better and more accomplished you'll be each time you play it. And that's why we, you know, that's why we spend the time that we do. Dick, I appreciate it. And looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to not having to get up in the middle of the night. It'll be 9 o'clock. It'll be a nice, normal night. I'll be in Pasadena, and I'll be able to partake like a normal human being. I love it.
Okay.
HKIR 19. This is the 32nd running of the International. And I'm sure tomorrow we'll talk to Alan Carrasco as well from, I'm assuming, who we always do. We always have one more set of opinions when it comes to these from Alan. It's one of his favorite trips of the year, one of his favorite racing events, period, from the Thoroughbred Daily News. Let's take a top of the hour break. Tony Black gonna roll in, and Steve Haskin a little bit, and more back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Whether at home at the track or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'm coming back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
You say you stand by your man. Tell me something I don't understand. You said you love me, and that's a fact. And then you left me, said you felt trapped. Well, some things you can't explain away. But the heartaches in me feel this day. And stand by me.
We're back at the races, 10 o'clock Eastern Time. Finally getting a chance to have a nice, relaxed conversation with Tony Black. We misconnected a couple different weeks, and so we didn't get a chance to get out in front of Thanksgiving greetings for Tony, but we got the whole holiday season to do that kind of thing.